Back at it here on the Steve Gruber Show. I'm glad you're along with us here at CPAC. I mean, it's a different event. Normally, it's in Washington, D.C., as you know. And because of the lockdowns in D.C. and the fact that, well, Florida's a free state, which is a beautiful thing. We are here in Orlando, which is a beautiful thing, too, because, you know, when we escape Michigan in the winter and go to D.C., it's not really, you know, much of a reward being in Orlando. Now, that's a reward. Joining me is Congressman Warren Davidson, represents Ohio's 8th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Congressman, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thanks for the invitation, Steve. Great talking with you.
Good talking to you. So for the 8th Congressional District, where is that?
That's Southwest Ohio, basically along the Indiana border between Cincinnati and Dayton.
Oxford?
Oxford's there, Miami University.
Yeah, there you go. Beautiful place, by the way. I used to live in Ohio for a number of years, so I'm quite acquainted with it. Good to have you here. Now, here's what I want to ask you about, because I was doing some, I shared with the audience here just a couple of days ago, from the Macomb, Michigan medical examiner. When you talk about COVID numbers, he was talking about people that had committed suicide, that had come into his office. This is going, you know, back 8 or 10 months now. But when they would, anybody that came into the ME's office, for any reason, they died of a heart attack, they died of a car accident, they died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, they would test them and say, if they're COVID positive, they would write those down as COVID deaths. But I'm sorry, a person who commits suicide with a firearm, that's not COVID, is it, sir?
Well, that's not the cause of death. And look, Dr. Birx early on was part of the administration, Trump administration, and acknowledged that the U.S. is doing a different standard than what most of the countries in the world are doing and what the World Health Organization is doing, and clearly a different approach to China, for example. Obviously, our numbers are going to be higher because you're going to the absolute maximum possible way to state the data.
Well, exactly right. So, and you hear the Democrats regurgitate this talking point all the time. America has done worse than anybody else. It's not true at all. Germany counts their numbers differently. Even Spain and Italy, they count their numbers different. They don't, just because you died with COVID doesn't mean you died from COVID, and they understand that. And the problem here in the United States is that many of these states did their level best to count every single one. I don't know why. There's a lot of theories about it. Some people said they were financially benefiting from it. I don't want to say that they went that far, but why do you think it happened?
Well, it's a fair question. They made that decision. I think it shows the maximum possible rate of infection. So if you really wanted to try to build a scientific case for it, you might look at that. But I think in terms of the public consciousness, they were working to induce as much fear as possible. Sad reality of this past year is we've lost far too many lives, whatever the number is. But we've lost way too much freedom. So there's clearly one of the reasons, and you highlighted it just before we started speaking, in Florida, one of the reasons they're doing so much to attack Ron DeSantis, Florida's governor, is because the results in Florida show there's not a correlation, not a cause and effect relationship between how the lockdown measures are imposed and the performance against the virus. It really
matters.
That's
exactly right.
Focused on protecting the most vulnerable people. And people like Andrew Cuomo, for example, clearly did not.
Congressman Warren Davidson here. He represents Ohio's 8th Congressional District. Here's my concern, Congressman. You're right. Far too many people died from COVID. It is a dangerous disease, but it's dangerous primarily to those that are, you know, the older you get, 70, 75, 80. There was a headline in Michigan a few months ago that a 107-year-old woman had died from COVID. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope someday I'm 107 and die of COVID. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
The absurdity of it, right?
Well, that's right. And look, in Ohio, the number was around, so far, is around 87% are 65 and older. And just comorbidities are the big effect. I think only 6% of the fatalities are with no comorbidities. And obviously, you get more comorbidities as you get older. Most people get them a whole lot earlier than 107.
Right. Exactly right. And here's the thing. If you're 107, the wind blows wrong. Yeah, you're done, and that's the way that is. The point that I'm making is the absurdity of how these things were measured. Now, the other problem that we have is the generational damage we have done to our country. And what I mean by that, you look at the number of kids that were in school, in high school, in middle school last year across Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, that left school as juniors or seniors in high school. They're never going to come back. They've dropped out. They're gone. The number of kids that were in college that left in March, April, May of 2020 that are never coming back. This is not a short-term fix. This is a generational problem. The number of dropouts that will become, you know, dependent on the state, on taxpayers, and the people that are still working and so forth is, it's a remarkable problem, is it not?
It's absolutely a remarkable problem, and it's asymmetric in terms of how it's impacted society. So look, the most disadvantaged kids are hit the hardest by this, and overwhelmingly you see the schools most reluctant to get back in session are in urban areas. And look, it's the virus doesn't behave radically differently whether your school's in Cincinnati or in Oxford, Ohio. But
well, that's,
you know,
right.
In our district, we had the largest public school district to go back in person in on time in the fall. You know, nearly 17,000 students in the district, you know, 3,000-4,000 of them went virtually initially, and they went back. They showed that you could do it, and gradually that's catching on, and the news is spreading, and more in our district, you know, more people are doing it. But around the state, hopefully that catches on. Around the country, you know, the science has always been that way. But for some reason, people have been reluctant to follow that information. It just does not affect kids the same way.
Yeah, the whole world has been that. In fact, here in Florida, we have relatives. My wife and I, Ivy and I, have relatives here. Their kids went back in person full-time in August. They've had no issues. I have two kids in school, one in public school. She's not been back except for a couple of hours so far. My son is in a private school. They went back in August full-time in person, no problems. So there you go. I mean, you've got the Catholic schools, the private schools are in session. Florida, they're in session. A lot of schools, and there are no issues. But this dropout, this number of dropouts really concerns me going forward, and it's concerning to a lot of folks. Let me ask you one more thing completely on a different question. Some of your colleagues in the Democrat Party are saying now that Joe Biden should not have the nuclear codes, and while I might agree with them for a variety of reasons, based on recent performances in front of the camera, what a dangerous thing is. They want to rule by committee. If you've got a 10-minute window to make a decision about a catastrophic nuclear event, they want to rule by committee. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it shows the importance of getting the commander-in-chief pick right. And I think most everybody in the country knew that Joe Biden wasn't really on his A game in terms of capacity. Frankly, I think Speaker Pelosi had a hearing about the 25th Amendment, not because she was concerned about Donald Trump, but she was concerned that Joe Biden was going to win, and now we're going to have a plan. You know, we'll see. You know, the idea of having some safeguards on it would presume that you've really messed up if you've got a president who has no dialogue with anyone else. I mean, you imagine the weight of that decision. Putting a committee to do some of that stuff is just the wrong way to do it.
It's the wrong
and
approach. Exactly
committee,
right.
You got one lawyer fine, two lawyers is a firm, three lawyers is a Congress, right? So
exactly,
not a productive way to go, and I doubt that it's going to be implemented. But it is kind of telling that concern is being verbalized in writing by so many Democrats
and put out there. Congressman Warren Davidson from Ohio, greatly appreciate. I did the over under yesterday on 6 months. I think it's under. I won't ask you to weigh in. It might not be appropriate, but I took the under on Joe Biden in 6 months. Sir, thank you for being here.
It's an interesting market. Thanks a lot, Steve. Take care.
There you have it. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. MyPureHealth Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With MyPureHealth Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. MyPureHealth Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
The beauty of high school sports is the benefits the kids playing the games receive. The benefit of belonging to something. The donning of the school uniform, the pep assemblies, homecoming, playing games they love in front of family and friends. Things you won't find anywhere else in youth sports. Show your support for the kids by heading out to a high school game in your community soon. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.